Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Right, now we're going to just carry on this morning for a few minutes, just looking at the last of this particular section of what we're doing over these few months, family of believers. It's the seventh word or the seventh aspect, and we're going to try and make it really practical today. I want to give a bit of time for us just to pray through some things. And it's interesting, both the prophetic songs that were given or prophetic words that were given in the worship just fit really perfectly with what I believe God wants to do, not just say, but do this morning. So going to try and keep it fairly short, very practical, but then give some space for us just to pray through some things. And because we all want to go deeper with God, is that right? And sometimes there can be some stuff in the way that we just need to deal with that then enables us to go deeper with God. Because how many of you know when you're digging, when you're going deeper, there can be some things in the way that you've got to dig up and get rid of. And often when you want to go deeper with God, you become aware of some things in your life that He wants to remove or get out of the way, so that there can be a greater depth of His life in us, therefore a greater release of His life through us. So, and then the great song that Claire sang out, you know, just about God's incredible mercy, that He's withholding His judgment on everyone. And He's doing that because of His mercy. And we don't want to live in God's mercy. We want to live in His grace. We live in His mercy when we're not walking in the right way. And He withholds judgment and He's merciful towards us because He doesn't want to deal with us as we sometimes deserve. And so when we respond and get things right with God, then that enables us to move back into the flow of His grace in our lives. And so... anyway, we'll come to all that lot later. But just a quick heads up. How many of you know what the seven words are for family of believers? The first one is we are a generational people. You remember that one? You look like you did. You really did. You look like you're on the edge of your seat there. The second one was we are a people of
hospitality.
We're a people who are generous. Don't put it up there. Don't help them. The fourth one is we're a people who...
Encourage.
She's really full of life this morning. I can tell you've not been swatting up over the Easter holidays. Let's go back to the start again and give you another chance. You ready? We are a...
generational.
We are a generation. Was that? We are a generational people. What is generation? That's our heart for people, okay? Secondly, we're a people who are... Yeah, people of hospitality. What's that? That's our environment that we create, right? Third one is we're people who are
generous.
That's what our attitude, okay? A generous attitude towards people, towards life. Fourth one is what's our language? Are people who
encourage.
So our language is to encourage, to build up, to be positive, build up and strengthen in the word. Okay, the fifth word is we're a people who
belong.
That's our identity, a place where we're secure, a place of identity in Christ with one another in the life of the body. Sixth word, we're a people of
significance.
That means your life matters. Your life matters in this body, who you are, what God's doing in your life, and everything that you bring into the life of the body. Your life matters. You're significant. And then this week, the seventh word is
healthy.
Okay, we are a healthy people. Okay, that means we want to live clean. Healthy is our lifestyle, spirit, soul, and body. So we want to be healthy spiritually. We want to be healthy in our relationships. We want to be healthy in our bodies. And we want to live clean. It's all right to respond today. We want to live clean, right? Spirit, soul, and body. And so when you bring all of that lot together, you know, that looks like a family of believers. This is who we are, okay? It's not just what we're supposed to do. This is who we are as a people. Now, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6 and look at a few things in there, try and make it quite visual and practical this morning. How do we live as a healthy person, as a healthy believer. Because how you live, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, determines the significance of who you are and what you bring into the life of the body. That we're all members of this body. We're living organisms, if you like. And we bring something of God's life because of who he is in us into the life of the body. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures before we go to Ephesians chapter 6. Because healthy is about your responsibility. Okay? I cannot have a relationship with God on your behalf. And you can't do that for me. I have a responsibility, like you do, to develop, to grow in my relationship with God. And we heard a few weeks ago that we develop our relationship through the Word, through worship and prayer. So we worship God, we magnify Him, we glorify Him, and the Holy Spirit reveals more of Jesus. We're people of the Word. We want to live according to the Word, according to the truth, and the Word reveals more of who God is. It's the plumb line for our lives. And then thirdly, prayer, the communication, the talking, the listening, all of that goes together. So we grow spiritually. But each one of us is responsible for our own walk with God. So where you are today with God is where you've chosen to be. That can be a little bit of a one, you know. But where you are with God at today is where you've chosen to be. Somebody can't, we can motivate one another. We can spur each other on. And part of leadership responsibility in any church is to help create an environment for people to grow. A healthy environment where people can respond and grow. But that growth is determined by the choices that you make and that I make. The soil, if you like, of your heart is determined, you know, what is going on in the soil of your heart is determined by the daily decisions that you make in response to the Word or in response to life and situations. But we're going to look this morning to see what is it clean. And how do we do that in our Christian life, okay? And so in Acts chapter 2, 42, there's a verse there, or the first three words of the verse are they devoted themselves. Now, we often read that verse and say what they devoted themselves to, the Word, the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. But actually, the first three words are the key in that sentence there, in that verse. They devoted themselves. So your devotion is something that you take responsibility for in your own life. And together, as we devote ourselves to the Word, to the fellowship, to our life together, to prayer and to the breaking of bread, as we devote ourselves in our relationship with God and to one another, then we're going to bring something of life and health and vibrancy into the life of the body, okay? Then there's another verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, where it's talking about the fivefold ministry who are here to train and equip the saints to be effective in their lives as believers. But the last verse in those few paragraphs, verse 16, says there that, let's have a quick read. It says, from him, the head, the whole body is to draw together in unity. Every part is to fulfill its function in love for the health of the whole body. So there's a responsibility for each person. It says every part is to fulfill its function in love of everybody. And this is accomplished by each person fulfilling the work Christ has appointed for him or her. Now, that work, initially, before we talk about a ministry of doing something, that work that we're appointed for is actually, it starts with who we are. So if we understand what we've been talking about recently, about being a house of God, a family, and then to the world, those three areas, and we're going to come to Friends of the World over the next few weeks. If we are who we've been describing, then we will enable the body to be healthy, to grow spiritually, to grow relationally, but also to grow numerically. Whenever something's healthy, it grows. And as a believer, if we are healthy in our life with God and with each other, then we grow spiritually, we grow relationally, and we grow numerically. And I believe God wants to encourage us, but challenge us, especially with the third part, which we'll come to over the next few weeks. Now, just turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to do something quite practical this morning, quite visual, and hopefully you'll remember this, and this will help us in our everyday life. How many of you want to live a healthy life?
Yes.
Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally? Yes. Do you want the keys to that this morning then?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to look at something in Ephesians chapter 6 here, and we're not going to turn it into Sunday school. But I want to look at Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God this morning, because there's a lot of key things about how to live healthy as a believer, but also what does it mean together to live healthy, okay, and what that produces in our lives, okay, if we're going to live clean and live healthy. So let's have a look at Ephesians 6 verse 10. I'm using the Truth Version this morning. It really brings out some great aspects of in these few verses. Okay, verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Above all, be strong in your faith and dependence on the Lord. Be strong in your walk. That's what it's saying. Stand. Well, let's go into it in a minute. Be strong in your faith and dependence on the Lord, on his might and power. He has provided his protection for you in several ways. Clothed with his gifts and resources, you will be able to stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. I love that phrase. Listen to that. Clothed with his gifts and resources. How many of you know that there are unlimited resources from heaven for our lives? He's clothed us with his gifts and resources, which will enable you to stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. Now, the word stand there means to stand vigorously, to stand strong, but it also means to stand active. So to stand there isn't just to stand still. It means to be vigorous in the way you stand, in the way you walk. It means to be strong in that walk, but it also means to be active in that walk, okay? And so this is full of life, full of momentum, full of action this morning in terms of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. So he's saying, be strong in your walk, be strong in your faith and your trust in who God is and his might and his power, because in that he's provided you full protection in several ways. He's provided protection by clothing you with gifts and resources that enable you to stand vigorously in a strong way and actively against the enemy and his disruption. Because your battle is not against people, but it's against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them, and against the spiritual rulers, authorities and powers that are at work in this world that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. They are in a league with those evil spiritual forces that exist outside the world. Okay, so we understand there's a spiritual battle going on. Most of the battle that goes on is up here. How many of you know that one? Okay, and we're going to look at some of that this morning and be my assistant this morning. So let's have a look. So accept everything God has made available to you to enable you to stand steadfast when evil attacks. How many of you know if you're going to be fit and healthy in your life naturally, there's certain things you've got to do, all right? So to be fit, you need to exercise. To be healthy, you need to eat the right stuff. Okay, you just say, I'm going to get fit, but still eat rubbish because you're working against yourself there. Whatever exercise you're doing, whether it's running or some kind of training that you're doing, if you're still eating the wrong stuff, there's still this battle going on in your body saying you're exercising me, but you're not feeding me with the right thing to go with the exercise. All right. So if you're going to be fit, you've got to exercise. And if you're going to be healthy, you've got to eat the right diet. And we'll come on to a little bit of that later this morning in a couple of hours' time, if you're still awake by then. But I want to do a couple of things, some of the practical stuff he's saying here. How do you stand firm? How do we remain standing? How do we walk strong? How do we walk vigorously with our faith? How do we walk actively in our faith? Now, in Ephesians here, the first thing Paul talks about, and there's an order here that he talks about what we've been clothed with. Now, we don't want to just emphasize the analogy he's using. We've got to understand what they mean.
That's right.
Okay, what does this do when we activate these things in our lives, how we use these in our lives? So firstly, in the context of Paul speaking, remember he would have understood Roman culture, and he spent quite a bit of time in jail, and he'd have seen many soldiers, and he understood the various aspects of what a soldier is wearing or the weapons that he uses, what they're for. And he uses six different things to describe what we as believers have and how if we use these and activate these, we will live healthy spiritually, we will live healthy relationally, but we'll also produce and be, you know, life and be fruitful in our lives as well, okay? Because they're the three things that God has been speaking to us about. We want to be spiritually healthy, we want to be relationally strong, but we also want to be fruitful in our witness and the way we're reaching out. That's what all these weeks are about. House of God is spiritual, family of believers is relational, friend to the world is fruitful, okay? So, in verse 14, it says here, "You stand firm with his truth like a belt that you keep around your waist for support." Okay, now I've got a few things with me this morning, and I know the kids aren't in, but it will just help you to remember some of this stuff. But I need a willing volunteer. Phil, thanks, mate. Brilliant. I saw your hand go up really fast there. You can give us a hand. Let's welcome Mr. Pooley back to the stage, shall we? Okay.
I knew you'd pick me even before I
knew,
I put my hand
you just
up.
Knew it. Well, you're in the flow, mate. You're in the flow.
Looks
brilliant.
Like
now.
A bit big for me. I tried.
Well, this is not my belt. I won't say whose it is, but
it's not yours, is it, Jane?
She doesn't wear it. It's too big, isn't it? It's too big. It's too big. Yeah, it's good. Just flow with it. Okay, now, what? It's really important. What? Because the belt wasn't just to keep these trousers up. Okay, have you got a belt?
I do. Actually.
You have actually. The belt. In for a Roman soldier, the belt represented something that was really important. And Paul understood this, and he talks about the belt of truth that is buckled around you or fastened around you. Now, a Roman soldier wore a tunic underneath his armour, and the belt held the tunic in place and held it in a certain way so that the soldier was really mobile, okay, in terms of being able to move around in battle and being very kind of agile, okay. And if there was going to be some discipline, if a soldier needed disciplining, the way that it would shame the soldier would be to take his belt off so that all his tunic hung down. And that would then show that the soldier was being disciplined and that he was in shame. And he wouldn't be able to go to battle because he wouldn't be effective. He wouldn't be able to move around because the belt was not in place. And so Paul understood the first thing that's got to be in place in our lives is the belt of truth. The truth of God's word that's got to be fastened around our lives because that holds everything in place. And if things are not held in place in our lives, then things hang out here, they fall out there, and then we're not going to be ready to stand. We're not going to be ready to actually be agile in the way that God wants us to be in our life. And then we're going to be easy picking for the enemy if the truth of God's word is not fastened around our lives. So I don't know if you can actually do that up or not, mate. Or do it on the tightest one possible. That'd be brilliant. Great. And so the word of God sustains us, or his word is powerful, sustaining us in all things. That's what his word says in Hebrews 1 verse 3. That God's powerful word sustains us in all things. So if we've got the belt of truth buckled around our waist, that's going to hold everything in place so we're fit for battle. So we're fit for victory. We're fit then to walk and to move, that our concentration in life isn't going to be on the things that are flapping here and there and around us, but everything's in place because the truth is holding our life together. It's not circumstances or feelings or emotions that we're trying to hold it all together. The truth of God's word brings everything into place, and then everything else can be put on our lives and can hang on our lives in a right way so then we can be effective as a believer and as believers together, okay? Then he speaks about the breastplate of righteousness, okay? Now, we've got a little bit of a body armour thing. I know it's not really solid, but this is for paintballing, okay? But this is, for us, this can be the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the righteousness is his righteousness in our lives. But it talks about here, his righteousness is our protection. Now, why did Paul use this analogy of a breastplate of a Roman soldier? The way they designed their armor, okay, was it was impenetrable, okay? Now, God's righteousness is impenetrable in our lives. The enemy cannot break through, cannot get through the righteousness of God that is your protection in your life, okay? And so they placed this armor on themselves, and also it came down over the shoulders, and there was a lot of things that they were interlinked. There were layers, so there was movement, but there was this full protection so that nothing that could be aimed at them could get through this armor because of the way it was designed and what it was made of. So they had full protection, full confidence in their breastplate, if you like. And so we have full confidence in the righteousness of who God is to stand firm, knowing that the enemy cannot get through who Christ is in our lives if we're standing firm in who he is. Okay, and all these things are going to add together and come together, okay, in the next few minutes. So, now, obviously righteousness in our life also has practical applications, okay? It's not just his righteousness that enables me to stand, but also the decisions that we make daily determine whether we walk in that righteousness, whether we walk in that victory, whether we walk in that overcoming life that God has given us, okay? So first we have the belt of truth that holds everything together, holds everything in place. Then we have this breastplate of righteousness, okay, God's righteousness, his life, who we are in Christ, that enables us to stand firm, to be confident, knowing that we already have the victory over the enemy, but understanding that the enemy is going to want to constantly undermine what he knows that we have to try and stop us from living in who we are and what we have, okay? Now, the third thing that he then speaks about is the shoes of the gospel. Let's just read it here. You wear the shoes of the gospel so that you are always ready for any eventuality and can walk in peace. Now, the shoes we've got today are slightly larger than shoes. I've got a pair of motorbike boots. So, Phil, if you can just put those on for a minute while I describe a couple of things. Thanks, mate. It's just help you remember what's going on. Now, why did Paul use the shoes of the gospel, or your feet being ready with the gospel of peace? Why did he use that analogy? Now, Roman shoes the soldiers' shoes that they wore, they were made of leather, but within the leather, there was a lot of metal that was within the leather so that it enabled, you know, them to last because of the kind of use they were going to get. Then, in the soles of the shoe, okay, there were not only metal that was in the sole of the shoe, but they also put hobnails on the underside of the soles so that they could grip, okay, so that when they were climbing, they could grip. If they were in sandy territory, they could still walk and get through. But also, they also put these hobnails on the underside so that when they were taken on their enemy, whatever, if he got to the ground and you know, in their fight and everything, he could then use his foot to then finish him off.
Nice.
Now, how many of you know where the devil is? Where is the enemy?
It's good.
All right? And so we're not just walking with a pair of trainers today. We're wearing the shoes of the gospel. Now, the shoes of the gospel means that we're ready for anything. We're ready to walk in the good of who God is. We're ready to respond to what he commands and says to us with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with his breastplate of righteousness. That means we stand in him. We're then made ready with the shoes of the gospel that are shoes of victory, shoes that overcome. Shoes that are going to, if they've got the grip of the gospel on our lives, they're fitted around our lives, then we're not going to fall, we're not going to slip either. So it's not just overcoming the enemy, it's also that walk that enables you when things are tough, when things are challenging, to keep a grip and to stay gripped in your life with the word, with the gospel, with the truth, that you're not easy pickings for the enemy, that you're not going to lose your footing in God because your feet are walking in the truth and the power of the gospel. Okay, so he's got his shoes on. All right, fourth thing here is this shield of faith. Now, the guys at 24/7 a little while ago, they made the shield from Narnia. So we're going to use this. I know it doesn't quite go, but this is the shield of faith. Okay, is that all right?
Good.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm right-handed.
All right, you might want to swap them over in a minute. shield of faith. Now, there's a number of things that when you look at the way they designed the shield for Roman soldiers and why Paul used that again as another analogy. They obviously didn't have them in this shape. They were much more of a rectangular kind of shape. But the way they made them with wood, and then they put certain metal within it to strengthen it, and then the material it was made from, and it was about, you know, about an inch thick, the whole thing, inch and a half thick in terms of its depth. But also with their shields, what they would do is they also kept other smaller weapons on the inside of their shields, as well as on their belt. So they had multiple weapons to use, and a soldier had to know which weapon to use at that given moment to defeat the enemy in terms of how the enemy was coming at them. And your shield of faith is the word of God that is active in your life, okay? And we need to know, we need how to deal with the enemy. And so there's different aspects of God's word that we pull out at different moments when the enemy comes against us. That it's not just, I believe, you know, but actually sometimes the enemy comes with certain lies and says, you know, you're rubbish, you're an idiot, you don't know this, you don't know that. And you need to bring out the right weapon to say, no, the word of God says the opposite to that. Or if the enemy comes along saying you're going to get ill, you're going to get this hereditary thing in your life and you're going to die, you know, just say, you know, some scriptures aren't going to work for that one. But if you hold up and say, no, actually, the Lord is my healer, you know, whatever scriptures you bring out. And so you need to know the right one to bring out to counteract the way the enemy's coming against you. Okay. So this shield of faith is all in the context of a walk of faith. So you've got this belt of truth that's holding you together, the truth of God's word, your breastplate, who you are in Christ, that enables you to stand firm and to stand strong. Amen. Then you're walking in the power of the gospel, the shoes of the gospel. You're walking in the word, okay? A lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That's what Psalm 119 says in verse 105, that we walk in that. And then we're walking with the shield of faith, that in this walk, the enemy is going to come against us, but we have the right words at the right time to overcome the way in which the enemy is trying to come against us and pull us down. Because a lot of the battle is up there, okay? So what else do we have? In terms of what God has given us. Before we go on to that, let's just... the other thing about the shield, so it's more than personal, is the way they were designed, they had a bit of lead that went around the edge of the shield. So that when they moved together in formation, the shields could butt against each other and create a wall at the front, and then anybody behind the front row would then place it over their heads and they'd create what they called a tortoise movement, you know, like a shell movement. And it would be like a wall of armor that was moving forward. And in one sense, that's the great thing, that as we live in this way individually, as we take responsibility for our own personal walk with God, what that does is that enables us then, if I had one as well, that enables us to be butted together, walking together. And whoever else is in that line is going to be butted together because we're walking in the truth. We're standing in the truth. We're contending for the truth in our own lives and together. That's right. In terms of spurring each other on. But also there's a protection over the top of our lives because we're all moving together, working together. That's why your life matters. That's why your life is significant. Because if you have a wall like that and somebody in the wall says, well, my life doesn't really matter. My shield doesn't matter. My sword doesn't matter. My belt of truth doesn't matter. Then there's going to be a weakness in the wall and it then becomes vulnerable for the enemy to get in some way, whether it's directly from the front, from the side, or from over the top in terms of how he wants to invade our lives individually or do something to impact us corporately. All right. Now, the fifth part, okay, is the helmet of salvation. Okay. And here we have, it's not a Darth Vader helmet, but it's the helmet of salvation. I'm going to mess your hair up now, mate. Is that all right? It is Phil's crash helmet. Is that all right?
It fits.
Fits. What does the word say? Okay. Your faith is like a shield that you have to take hold of that enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. So you bring out the right weapon at the right time to defeat him in terms of the word. The assurance of your salvation is like a protective helmet, enabling you to counter all the devil's lies and efforts to deceive you in your thinking. Now, also, in the helmet of a Roman soldier, there were metal rods and various other things that could pretty much, according to what I read, stop any kind of weapon from basically decapitating the guy. And how many of you don't want a decapitated life? Now, where does the enemy target most of all? Up here, the mind. And in Romans chapter 12, it talks about us being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's why Paul here is constantly speaking about the power of the word that is at work in our lives that enables us to live healthy spiritually, okay? He's saying, look, you need the power of the word belted around your life, holding you together. It's the power of my word that enables you to be righteous who you are. It's the power of my word that is fitted around your feet to enable you to walk in, that you walk in your life in my word by applying it, by believing it, by speaking it, by declaring it. It's the power of my word that is the shield for your life, that defends you against the enemy, that defends one another against the enemy. It's the power of my word that is yours, is the helmet, it's the protection of your salvation. Because the enemy is constantly want to undermine your salvation. Most of us probably don't struggle with, am I saved or not? But the devil doesn't want you to walk in your salvation because he knows if you walk in it, you're dangerous in terms of the enemy's kingdom. He knows if you walk in your salvation, we're going to be effective. We're going to be fruitful. We're going to see things happen because we believe in something. We're walking in something. We're living in something. And so Paul says here, you've been given the helmet of salvation. You've been given a new mind. You've got the mind of Christ. And daily you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why he's saying, come on, feed on the word, believe the word, live the word. You need a diet of the word so that we have a healthy mind, healthy understanding, ultimately then a healthy spirit because we're feeding our spirit, which then impacts our mind and our thinking and the way we believe. Okay, so you've got a helmet of salvation, all right? And in Colossians 3, verse 2, it talks about setting our minds on things above, not on earthly things. So there's that constant battle because the enemy's saying, look at things in the natural. Look at things in terms of circumstances. Look at how you feel. Whereas the word is saying, no, look at things that are above. Look at higher things. What do I say? What's the word of God? What does the truth say? What does the word say? And think on those things. Mull over on those things. And then apply those things, speak those things, pray those things. And then finally, he talks about in verse 18, you not only have a defensive shield, but also an offensive weapon, as in going on the offense. The sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. So let's just get a sword to finish the picture. And got this out of Pastor Jonathan Dyke's office this morning. It was hanging in there, nice big sword. So there you go, mate. You can have a sword. That's your sword of the Spirit. It's all right, isn't it? Nice. You look dangerous, mate.
I look like a funny Roman soldier.
You are a funny Roman soldier. It's a mixture of. I don't know what is a mixture of.
Careful, I've got a sword.
You're looking great, mate. I just don't go down the road like that, though, all right? Otherwise, it's not going to go well for you. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit and every thought and attitude of the heart. It's living and active. So the word of God is alive. It's living, okay? Then in John 6, verse 63, it talks about the word of God is spirit and life, okay? For me, every day I pray that one, and I just thank God that his word over my life is spirit and life today. Before I preach, I always say, God, I don't want to go up with my words, I want to go up with your words, because your word is spirit and life. Mine is just going to fall to the ground, but yours release life and faith and victory, you know, in people's lives. So thank you for your word being spirit and life into people's lives today. You know, so it's always got to be your word and your spirit that are working together. And so we've got this offensive weapon that he parallels with the sword of the Spirit. Okay. And the weapon that these soldiers had, and it actually talks about a number of different swords that they have. One is a main one, but they have others, one in their belt. They have another one on the inside of their shield that are different lengths that they use for different kinds of battle, okay? And again, it's like these guys go into training to be skillful in what they've been clothed in. And there's a challenge for us as believers in for our personal lives, our personal responsibility, that God actually wants us to be skillful in what he's clothed us in. God doesn't want us to be dependent on somebody else to be skillful on our behalf. Now, we know there are seasons where sometimes we're challenged. There's challenges, there's struggles, and there's issues that go on. And that's where we stand together and say, right, we want to stand together, spur each other on. Sometimes I have to hold your hands up. Other times you're holding mine up. You know, sometimes we say, mate, get your head up. You got a renewed mind. You got the helmet of salvation. You got great protection in your life. Come on, get your sword of the Spirit up. Take it out of the, whatever that's called. Take it out of there and use it. Apply it in your life because God has placed that in your hands. You know, you can have victory. You can speak this. You can declare this. You can see things happen. You can be a healthy believer in the life of this thing. You can be significant because you've been clothed with everything that you need to be a healthy believer, to live clean, to be healthy spiritually. Now, we're made up as people, spirit, soul, and body. Before you get saved, your spirit is not alive to God. And so you live everything in the soulless realm, and that's expressed through your body. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. When you get born again, your spirit comes alive. God comes and lives in your spirit. And then everything then is submitted or surrendered to the Spirit. So your mind comes under the lordship of the Spirit of God in your life. Your emotions then come under the lordship of the Spirit. Your will comes into line with the will of God and with what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Then your body also becomes a living temple of the Holy Spirit. So your soul and your body then begin, they come under the lordship of who God is in our lives. And so if we're healthy spiritually, then our soul, our thinking, our emotions, our will, and then our body come into line with the life of the Spirit in us. Therefore, our soul is going to prosper. Your mind's going to be healthy. Your emotions are going to be stable. Your will is then going to be submitted, saying, God, I want your will, not my will. Your body then is healthy. There's scriptures that talk about living according to the word. Then you're going to live in health, or you're going to live long life. Why? Because you're feeding on the word, which is eternal. And so that eternal word is going to affect your natural well-being, mentally, physically, emotionally. Okay? And so being a healthy believer really is down to you and me in our own lives taking responsibility and saying, right, God has clothed me with himself. He's clothed me with his righteousness. He's given me his word. He's given me his Holy Spirit to live in victory. I'm not a victim any longer. I am now a victor because he has given me everything I need to live in victory.
Amen.
And the enemy just wants to constantly come in this way, that way. But God has given us everything we need to walk in victory, to live in victory, to apply the victory, to stay in victory.
Yeah.
And imagine all of us like that together, shields, swords, helmets, shoes of the gospel, breastplate of righteousness. Imagine it like moving together like a troop. The sound of that, the unity of that, the power of that, the confidence of all that together. And that's what it means to live healthy. And that's how you can live healthy. Now, if we all live like that, in Ephesians 4, it talks about the whole body then being healthy, being built up to be who it's supposed to be, being fruitful in our lives. Let's give Phil a big applause, shall we? Thanks, mate. Just chuck it on the floor, it'll be all right. Now, just to finish off, because we need to pray, let's all stand together, just so you're at least on your feet. Paul talks about whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with his life and power, no matter what you're asking God for. I love that. Whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with His life and power, no matter what you're asking God. How important to pray in the Spirit continually for all your fellow believers.
Right.
Now, we're going to just take a few minutes to just to respond to pray. We're going to pray through those six things, okay? And but I just want to give you one quick thing, right? How many of you can spell soap? S-O-A-P, okay, soap. What is a really good way to apply the word in your life, okay? You get a scripture, that's S, okay? You read a scripture. So in the morning, you read a scripture. You could read two chapters and somebody say, what did you read? And you know, I can't remember, I've read two chapters, so I've ticked the box for reading the Bible today. But actually, what happened? Did you get anything out of it? Did God speak to you? So better to read two verses, a couple of scriptures, and then God speaks, something happens, and you, oh, observe. There's an observation. So there's a scripture, you read the scripture, there's an observation that something stands out. So the Holy Spirit speaks, you observe something. Then A, you begin to apply that. Okay, what's the application of that word in my life? What do I need to do? What's going to be the response to that scripture? And then P, you pray through it. Right, now I'm going to pray through that word. So I've read the scripture. There's been an observation or a revelation, okay? God has spoken to me. Something's happened with that scripture. Wow, I didn't realize it said that before. Or something grabs you in your heart. What's the application of that? What does it look like in my life? Well, that means I just need to be full of joy today. And everybody I meet, I need to encourage today or something. And I'm going to pray through that. Father, I thank you for your word right now that says that I need to be full of joy and thanksgiving on all occasions. And so I thank you today that I can apply that in my life and apply the truth of your word today. Even though some stuff might be tough, it might be challenging, I've got some circumstances that might be difficult, I thank you I can take your word now and deal with it with joy, with thanksgiving today, because that's what your word says. So I choose today to be joyful in every situation, all right? Now, how many of you know if you're going to start your day like that, it's probably likely to go better than if you just start with your head in your hands wondering what it's going to go like? All right? That's what Paul is talking about this morning with this armor. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. Soap. How many of you can remember that? All right, that was for free. We'll have another offering in a minute. But so every morning when you get up, don't just have a shower and wash yourself with Imperial leather or whatever you do when you go into the shower, but spend some time with the soap of God's word, spiritual soap, scripture, observation, application, prayer. Okay? And you begin to find some things changing in your day as a result of applying the word and what God says. How many of you want to be fit and healthy? We haven't got time to go into this morning. But I want to challenge all of us, if you're not doing any exercise, maybe just think about something that you can do to get some exercise. Even whether it's, I do a bit of stretching, a few press-ups, and got a cross trainer at home, and I don't do it every day. In fact, I haven't done it for a cross trainer for a few weeks, but I've got certain stretches and press-ups and one or two other things that I do, and but also healthy-wise, diet-wise. And I think it's good for us to, we're in a culture where, I don't know how they work the percentages out, but obesity is you only have to have like a millimetre of fat and you're obese these days, apparently. But we want to live healthy. You want to live a long life, okay? There's certain things you can do to help you live a long life. And that's if you have a good diet as well. It's not, I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm going to believe that God's going to keep me alive for a long time. I think God says, look, hang on, have a little bit of common sense. I've given you some, so use it, you know? And sometimes there's some disciplines in our life, as well as the spiritual disciplines we've been talking about this morning, there are some natural, practical disciplines. Yeah. We've all had a great time over Easter, probably eating chocolates and a lot of chocolates and more chocolates and other things. But how many of you know sometimes there needs to be a little bit of discipline in my diet and what I eat? And because we want to be fit and
healthy,
okay? And we haven't got time to go into that this morning. But we want to be spiritually fit and healthy, physically fit and healthy in our lives. And sometimes that requires a bit of discipline. And it doesn't mean you have to not eat, but it's just eating the right stuff that is going to... And I do that quite often. Every 2 or 3 months, I'll just have a week where I kind of, sometimes the Lord initiates it, and other times it's like, I'm just going to do this because I need to discipline myself. Sometimes for a week I say to Jane, I'm not going to eat any desserts this week, or nothing between meals or anything, or I'm just going to have breakfast and dinner or something. And the other time, I'm going to use some of the time just to pray and just put a little bit more discipline in. And also because it's like, I don't want to just get into a lifestyle of taking this out of the cupboard, buying that in the shop or doing this or doing, you know, where you just get and you gradually find you're just not as healthy or as fit. And actually, it's now I want to keep my body in check. And like some of us, we're getting older and it's not as easy to keep your body as six-pack as it used to be. I don't think I've ever had one of those, but anyway, apart from in six cans that were on the side. But, you know, anyway, let's not go there. Right, are you ready to pray? Right, let's take the belt of truth. How many of you want to be a people of the Word? Well, you are a people of the Word already. But let's just take a few moments. Just close your eyes and firstly, just thank the Lord for the power of His Word. Just thank Him that He's already given you the belt of truth to buckle around your waist. Now, I just want to take a couple of moments because one of the prophetic songs that came earlier was that God wants to go deeper in our lives and we want to allow Him to go deeper. And it's a relationship. It's a two-way thing. Now, if you're aware of anything that's flapping around that you know doesn't just need tucking in, it needs dealing with, all right? I want to just bring that before the Lord this morning. Some people, that word was great. You're not under judgment, but under my mercy. Now, we don't want to stay under His mercy. We want to move back into His grace. And there's a few people this morning, and that's why God would have sung it out and declared it this morning, where some people feel like they're under condemnation. Now, in Christ, there is no condemnation. But if there's stuff in our lives that is not quite in line with God, then we feel like there's condemnation because the enemy is just going to pile stuff onto you to make you feel bad. And that's where God's saying, no, you're not under condemnation or judgment. You're under my mercy. But I want you to move from mercy to grace. So if there's areas or things in your life where you know, actually, I need to get that into line. There's an area of my thinking. There's an area of behavior. There's an attitude that I've had for a while. There's a relationship that's out of sorts. Whatever it is, just take a couple of moments now. Just talk to the Lord and just say, God, I want to realign this area of my life. I ask you to forgive me. I just turn away from that thinking or from that attitude. Or where I've been wrong in a relationship, in the way I've been towards somebody, Father, I ask you to forgive me right now. I want to make that right. Just talk to Him right now. You don't have to get heavy about it. Just say, God, this is it. Thank you that today this cycle of behavior finishes. This cycle of thinking finishes. I thank you that today I'm going to come back into right thinking or right attitude or right heart motivation. I choose to come back into that place today with you right now. And Father, I want you to go deeper in my life. I want to know you in a deeper way. I want to walk with you in a deeper way. So I thank you right now for your forgiveness. And I thank you that I move from mercy to grace because I want to walk in your grace, not be living under your mercy because something's out of sorts in my life. So, Father, I thank you for your mercy that enables me to be forgiven so that I come back into your grace and then live according to your grace in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just thank you for that belt of truth buckled around your waist. Father, I thank you that your word holds my life together. I don't have to depend on my emotions or anything else, but I depend on your truth, on your might and on your power, as it says there in your word. So I thank you for the belt of truth buckled around my waist. Now just thank him for him being your righteousness. Thank you that you give me right standing before you. There's nothing I can do in and of myself that gives me that right standing. I thank you that you are my righteousness. And because of that, I can stand boldly and confidently before you. I can live and walk confidently in life before you because you are my righteousness. I don't have one of my own. I don't have to because I've got you. And I thank you that the enemy cannot penetrate that righteousness. He cannot get through what you have established in my life. Because he can't get through you because you've won the victory over him already. So I thank you that I'm clothed in your righteousness with a belt of truth buckled around my waist. Now, just thank him as well as the righteousness and the breastplate that you've got the shoes of the gospel. Just thank him for the power of his word that have been fitted around your life, that you're ready for action. Thank you. I can walk in your truth. I can run in your truth. I can make steps in your truth. Thank you that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I thank you that your word is living and active. It says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And like those studs on the bottom of those soldiers' feet, you can tread on the enemy and you know he is defeated. He is dealt with because you've got the power of the word. You've got this two, sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts down the enemy, pushes through opposition. But sometimes we have to just keep applying that word to see that breakthrough take place. But that's why we walk together in that walk of victory, because it is a walk of victory. Even though sometimes you think, I don't feel the victory, it is still a walk of victory because the word gives you that victory in Christ Jesus, because your feet are shod with the shoes of the gospel to be a messenger of good news to others as well. So in that walk, you have a great message of victory and a message of hope for others to hear so they can also receive what you have received. To just thank him that you've got the right shoes on. You've not got shoes of defeat, you've got shoes of victory, shoes of the gospel, shoes that overcome the enemy, shoes that enable you to stand firm, that you don't slip and slide, but you can take confident steps knowing that the word of God is going to grip your life and enable you to walk in right ways. Thank you, Jesus. And then you've got the shield of faith. Thank him that he's given you that shield of faith, that you're equipped with the word, that no matter what the enemy comes at you with, you got the right word at the right time that says, devil, that's not what the word says. Amen. The word of God says something else. I'm just going to put out this weapon and come with the truth of what God says about me, what the truth says about everybody else that I'm part of. So I'm not going to listen to that lie. So I just hold the shield of faith up and that fiery dart bounces off, falls to the ground. Yes. Thank you, Father. Just thank you for the power of the word in your life. That you have victory today because you got the power of the word. That's why Paul says, stand firm, walk strong in the power and the might of who he is. Because the enemy can't stand up against the power and the might of who he is. And then finally, you got the sword of the Spirit, okay? That offensive weapon that goes on the offense. You got the word of God that not only defends you, but now you say, right, I'm going to take the word out and I'm going to advance. I'm going to speak this. I'm going to declare this. I'm going to decree this, because this is what the word of God says about me. This is what he says about this situation. This is what he says for your life that I'm going to pray for right now when you encourage others. I'm going to agree with you, stand with you, because the word says this. And so we're going to stand together in agreement, in faith together, and see this breakthrough, see this healing, see this circumstance change, see God move in this situation. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him that you're clothed right now, but also you're clothed with the Spirit of God so that you can be led by the Spirit of God. So, Father, I thank you for that fresh release of the Holy Spirit right now in our lives. That fresh release of your Holy Spirit to lead us in victory.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're brothers in arms. Brothers in arms. Shields of faith locked together. Swords of the Spirit out for victory. We've got our feet shod with the gospel. We're standing with a breastplate of righteousness. We've got a helmet of salvation, or we left that one out. We haven't done that. Just thank him that you have right the mind of Christ, that you have right thinking. You got a hard head, but a soft heart. That the enemy can't penetrate your life. He keeps buffing up against this helmet, this protection of salvation that you have around, because you've got the mind of Christ, because you have a sound mind. That's what the word of God says. You haven't got a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of a sound mind. Father, I thank you for people of victory this morning. People who overcome, people who can come at things in life with a positive attitude and a right heart, because your word has clothed us with that victory and enables us then to walk in that victory and apply that victory in our lives. Father, I thank you for healing this morning in people's bodies. I thank you for healing in people's minds. I thank you for emotional healing right now in people's bodies. Father, I thank you. The revelation of your word lifts off instability right now. Lifts off oppression and depression right now. Father, I thank you. The power of your word releases your healing grace into people's bodies right now. Aches and pains going out of bodies. Migraines leaving right now. Alopecia being healed right now. A dry skin on your scalp being healed right now. Somebody's cartilage in their left knee being healed right now. Somebody's hips where you've been in pain, they're being healed right now in Jesus' name. Somebody else, you've had a disc slightly out of place and God is healing you. It's been burning for the last few minutes or so. And God's healing your back right now. You're going to have no restriction, no limitations from this moment onwards. Father, I thank you for your healing grace now in that person's back in the name of Jesus. Somebody else, you begin to get aches and pains in your knuckles. And somebody said, oh, you've got arthritis. And you've been trying to say, no, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. And you felt like you've been trying to do that in your own strength. And God's saying now, no, you don't have it.
Absolutely.
And the aches and pains, whatever that was, God is setting you free from all of that right now. And there's no fear of what might come into your bones and joints because you're healed right now. God's diagnosis for you is healthy limbs, healthy bones and healthy joints in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had a throat infection and it's caused all sorts of issues with your breathing and you've had various medications. Well, God's just healing you right now. The oil of the anointed of the Holy Spirit is just healing you in your throat and what's been taking place in your esophagus and in that throat area right now. Father, I thank you for your healing power in that person's body right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your victory.